الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please repeat after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله
Now imagine this that you're in dire need you're in difficulty you're in troubles And you're in problems. And you look around and there's nobody to help you. And you think, I wish, you know, there was somebody there, somebody in authority, somebody with power, somebody who could really help me, get me out of this pit that I'm in, and the difficulties that I've created for myself. And suddenly somebody arrives. And that somebody helps you and dispels all your problems and worries and takes you out of the pit of darkness and brings you into light. How happy would you be? Now with that in mind, listen to this beautiful hadith mubarak. Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said, Whosoever sends salat, durud paak upon me on the day of Friday, I will intercede for him on the day of judgment. Now the day of judgment is a very difficult day. We know our deeds. It's the day of accountability. It's the day of terror. You know, the sun is very close. The earth or the zameen at the time, the plains of resurrection are very hot. Everybody is fighting for their own selves. And in that time when we're in difficulty, just imagine if the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam arrives. And then Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam blesses that person who recited through the park in abundance by saying, you can come with me. Subhanallah, how beautiful would that be? Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was a very pious man. And for 3 years, he continually made dua in the court of Allah azza wa jal. Kya Malik? Main tera Kaaba dekhna chahta. I want to see your house. I want to perform Hajj. And his wishes, his desires were not fulfilled. But he continued in this constant onslaught of du'as in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the fourth year, in the season of Hajj, his heart was restless. He was thinking again, am I going to be fortunate enough? Is it my turn? One night, he fell asleep. He fell asleep, but his destiny awoke. And the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, blessed him with appearing in his dream. And Akakreem, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, said, go for Hajj this year. When he opened his eyes, he couldn't believe what had happened. You know, being blessed with the vision of the beloved Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, how amazing is that? The words of the beloved Habib, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, were ringing in his ears. Go for Hajj this year. Go for Hajj this year. And not only had he had one of the greatest things that can happen to a person on the surface of the earth, seeing the beloved Habib, the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but then the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, giving him the glad tidings of what he was longing for. Allahu Akbar. Amazing. The next night, he goes to sleep. And he has the same joyous dream again. He sees Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And again Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, go for Hajj. He wakes up and he's proud of his destiny, his kismet. He's thinking, how privileged am I to see the best of creation, the beautiful Habib, twice. But, you know, Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, go on Hajj. But I don't have the means. The third night comes. And again he's thinking, I'll ask if it happens again. And in the third night, he's blessed once more. Go for Hajj this year on the fourth night. He couldn't pluck up the courage. So on the fourth night, when he's blessed with the vision of the beautiful Habib, he says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, oh my master, I don't possess the means to go on Hajj. Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, go to this part of your house. Your grandfather left an armor which he buried in the ground. Take the armor. Saying this, Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam departed. When he woke up, he went and dug up the house where Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, and he found the armor. And he says the armor was pristine and in a beautiful condition. It was as if it had never been used. He sold the armor for 4,000 dinar. He thanked Allah Azza wa Jal and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he made arrangements for Hajj to fulfill the dream of his life. Subhanallah. My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madni channel, today we're going to talk about this amazing journey. Allahu Akbar, how brilliant is it? How magnificent is it? Life doesn't get better than the journey of Hajj. For those of you who've had the honor and the privilege of having that journey, it is truly a magnificent feeling. You know, this, millions of Muslims every year wearing the same clothes, that white ihram, descending towards Makkatul Mukarramah and the plains of Mina and Arafat, Allahu Akbar, fulfilling this obligation of their life. And it's farz, it's an obligation, and I'll go into that. But more than that, in their heart, this longing, this enthusiasm, this passion to come closer to Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To please Allah azza wa jal. You know, as if the Haji is saying, Ya Allah, I've spent my life disobeying you. At least this is an opportunity to get my sins wiped. And the fortunate people are those who exchange everything for this journey. And they keep themselves pure by going to Hajj and asking for forgiveness for their sins. Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the status of a Haji is so amazing that Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Haji will intercede for 400 Muslim members of his family, and he will be free from sins like the day that his mother gave birth to him. Subhanallah. In another hadith in Mubarakah, Akakreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, perform Hajj, for Hajj purifies a person of sins, just as water washes away dirt. Subhanallah. You know, in this daily life, we get dirty, we're indulged in sins and we're in difficulties. When you go for Hajj, if you go with the intention of repentance in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal, to become closer to Allah and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it's an opportunity to wipe your sins away. Then, Nabi Akreem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allahu Akbar, when you meet a Haji, give him salam and shake his hand and ask him to supplicate for your forgiveness before he enters his home, for he has been forgiven. Subhanallah. And this is why we go to greet the Hajis and meet the Hajis, because they have come from the blessed lands and Allah Azza wa Jal has forgiven their previous mistakes. They are pure and clean. And by meeting them and greeting them and seeing them and just beholding them, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, we get a little bit of those blessings that they have bathed in. Subhanallah. This is an amazing time. The world at the moment is in the grip of this pandemic. And normally at this time, in most of our towns, most of our families, most of our households, there is this euphoria that Fulan's going for Hajj, this person's going for Hajj, can you get me this when you're there? Can you make dua for me? Can you present my salams in the best of creation's court? You know, all of this is happening and this euphoria is happening. But unfortunately, because of the pandemic, only some people are going to do Hajj this year. But it doesn't stop us longing for it. You see, if we had the intention, gosh, if I could go, I would make a firm intention. If I could go, I would. But I can't because of the situation in the world. But inshallah, Azawajal, I will go as soon as I am allowed the opportunity. And if you haven't done your farz Hajj, then you need to think very, very carefully. This obligation of Hajj, Allahu Akbar, it's one of the pillars and foundational pillars of Islam. It is so important that Allah Azza wa Jalla in the glorious Quran, Surah Ali Imran, verse 97 says this, and performing Hajj of this house for the sake of Allah is an obligation upon the people who have the means to reach it. And whoever disbelieves, i.e. denies Hajj being a pillar of Islam, so Allah is independent of the entire world. Now in Khazan al-Irfan, it says that this verse mentions the obligation of Hajj, and its condition is that one has the means. In a hadith of Barakah, the Blessed Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam mentioned the means of provision, of journey, transport, etc. One should have enough food and water that would suffice for him for the journey there and back. And this is other than the maintenance for his family and his dependents. So Islam is such a beautiful religion. It doesn't say, well, no matter what you are, you know, get some loans and go on Hajj. No, Islam is so amazing, so beautiful, that it imposes this obligation upon those who can afford it. And not just afford the journey. Look at the depth of Islam and the caring nature of this beautiful deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that you've got to have enough to make sure that while you're away, your family isn't suffering. So that you've got that wealth. So, i.e. one should have enough food and water that will suffice him for the journey there and back. And this is other than the maintenance for his family and his dependents. It is also necessary that the path be safe for having the means to go there. So even in this pandemic, where say it's obligatory upon us and you made the intention, but because the paths aren't safe and there's difficulties with this, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, because you made the firm intention, the creator of the heavens and the earth will no doubt reward you. Doesn't mean that you don't fulfill the obligation as soon as you can. Make the intention. But inshallah, by the blessings of the dust of the sandals of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, next year, if there aren't these restrictions in place, I will go on Hajj. Even if I have to put money aside slowly over the next few months and in the next year, I will make sure that I can go on Hajj next year, inshallah. Now, if one denies Hajj, then you'll be surprised. There are some foolish ones who say it's not important, nauzubillah. Then the scholars write that because this is from the Quran, if he denies the farz qati, definitive farz, then it is kufr, disbelief, Allahu Akbar. So one should, what the scholars write is, one should never make a mockery of anybody going on Hajj or Hajj itself or anything to do with Hajj, nauzubillah, because this is the way of the disbelievers. And it's a very, very sensitive issue. Now, in Tafsir Salatul Jinan, Mufti Sahib writes, Hajj refers to entering the state of Ihram, remaining in Arafat on the 9th of Zilhajj and performing the Tawaf of the beautiful Kaaba. At a specific time, you know, the time of the year, in that blessed month, in those blessed days, at that blessed time. And Mufti Sahib writes, there are three farz. Adorning those sheets, giving up everything, giving up all your fancy clothes and putting those sheets on. And the scene for those of you who've seen it live, amazing, Allahu Akbar. And those who have seen it on TV, seen it on video, absolutely magnificent. When those hajis are dressed in the white ihram and they are proclaiming the glory of Allah Azza wa Jal, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik. لبيك لا شريك لك لبيك إن الحمد والنعمة لك والملك لا شريك لك. The sound of that reverberating all around you and filling your mind and your soul is so amazing that it is unbelievable. I cannot describe the feeling of that. You know, even on the planes, on the buses, on the journey to Makkah al-Mukarramah, all the way through. There are some people who just don't talk, don't do anything. They just keep reciting the talbiyah. And the feeling in the hearts of the Muslims is amazing. And then when you get to Makkah al-Mukarramah, you're approaching the Masjid al-Haram, and everybody around you is proclaiming the talbiyah, and the sada of labbaik is in the air. I don't think there's a better scene in the entire world and everything it has in it than that moment when you're there. Then, staying on the plains of Arafat, the second farz. Allahu Akbar, what an amazing moment that is as well. That time when you have been to, you know, you've gone through the initial stages and you're fulfilling this amazing rukun. And that day of Arafat is all about praying in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And you've got people who have no sense of what's around them. All they know is, this is the day that I need to plead in the courts of my Creator. And I need to get forgiven all the mistakes I've made. And I need to ask for whatever I need for my future. An amazing day. So the second farz, staying at Arafat. And then the third, tawaf is ziyarat, when you do the tawaf of the great Kaaba. Now, Mufti Sahib writes that there are three types of Hajj. Hajj-e Ifrad, i.e. tying the Ihram for Hajj only. Hajj-e Tamattu, i.e. the Ihram for Umrah is tied first. And then after coming out of Ihram for Umrah, the Ihram for Hajj is tied in the same journey. And then Hajj-e Qiran, i.e. Ihram for both Hajj and Umrah is tied together. In this type, after the completion of the Umrah, the restrictions of Ihram remain. So a lot of us that travel, we usually go for perform Hajj Tamattu, where we go there, we perform the Umrah, and then we have, if we have days between then and Hajj, we come out into our normal clothes, out of the restrictions of Ihram, and then on the nights that we're traveling, we then get back into the Ihram, and then we travel to Mina Sharif. But some brothers you will see, and you will remember, for those who've been on Hajj, they stay in their Ihram. It's quite a testing time at that, to stay in the state of Ihram with all its restrictions. But obviously there are great rewards as well. Subhanallah. So, and then what you do is that when you go for your Umrah, you have to tie your Ihram before the Miqat. Then you come to the beautiful Kaaba, and that amazing scene, you know, when you first arrive and you try to enter from a door where you're not going to see the Kaaba, beautiful, you know, view of the amazing, amazing glory of the Kaaba straight away, because you want to be in a position where you can turn, see it, and then make dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla, because that is a point of acceptance of duas. So you see all these people finding different areas. Then you perform, you make your du'as, you make your intentions, you go and perform the tawaf, then you do the sahih of Safa and Marwa, and then you have your head shaved, and this way you complete your umrah. The glorious Quran tells us about this, that Surah Baqarah Sharif, verse 196, then if you are prevented from entering Mecca. From this we learn an important ruling of Hajj, namely Ihsar. And the summary of that is this, that if you face a hindrance after tying the Ihram of Hajj or Umrah, like fear of an enemy or illness in such a situation, come out of Ihram, and then it will be wajib upon you to sacrifice an animal of Qurbani, i.e. a camel, cow or goat, within the boundaries of Haram, and do not shave your head until the animal has been sacrificed. Then the Quran says, and then whoever amongst you is sick, and then the rulings of those people are there. Before you, if you have this opportunity in your lifetime, remember this, that before you go, you are going there to please Allah Azza wa Jal. And the way to please Allah Azza wa Jal is to perform Hajj in accordance with the way that Aqa Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said. And this is why a lot of the time we encourage people to travel with the learned scholars. Very fortunate is the one who travels with a learned scholar. And we're not talking about groups or anything else. We're just talking about making sure that you have people there who can guide you to make sure that every step of the way you are performing your Hajj and your Umrah in accordance with the laws of Shariat and the beautiful way that Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has shown us, and within the prohibitions of Ihram and the restrictions that are imposed. Because if you don't, then in certain situations, if you intentionally do that, then dam becomes wajib and you get sin. If you unintentionally cross the limits of the shari boundaries of Ihram and the restrictions and the conditions and the prohibitions, if it's unintentional, that doesn't mean that you don't have to go then and do your dam and your sacrifice. That still applies. But the scholars write that through the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, because it's a mistake, so long as you do the sacrifice or the dam, you will not get sins for it because it was unintentional. So this is important. What is important is we learn and have this passion. Kikash, and you know, those who really have a deep passion, you know what they were doing? They'll still be reading. They'll still be learning about Hajj. They'll think, yeah, one day, ek din hoga jana sarkar ki gali mein. You know, one day we might go there. So what I'll do is I'll brush up on everything this year as well. And when I see it on the manazir on the TV, when I see people doing Hajj, I know that's in Mina Sharif. This is where they're going to Arafat. They're on the plains of Arafat. They're on Jabal Rahmah. This is where they are. That's where they're going. They're going to spend the night in Muzdalifa. Then they're going to go on to the Jamarat. And so you know everything. So when you get there, you've got a head start. And just following that journey, you know, if you build the journey up, when you're blessed with going there, can you imagine that your dreams are being fulfilled? If you're dreaming of going to Hajj, if you're dreaming of being on the plains of Arafat, if you're dreaming of spending that night in the open air, open skies in Muzdalifa, when you're there, it's a dream come true and you will truly savor the moment. These are exemplary times. They're amazing times. Hajj has many, many virtues and our sins are forgiven. Our life is full of mistakes. Fortunate is that person who gains this opportunity. And for the one upon whom Hajj is farz, it's very, very important that he makes provision for it. A lot of us, we spend our life in heedlessness. We can go on holiday with mates. We can go to visit our own countries in the Indian subcontinent, Pakistan, Bangladesh, wherever we are. And we travel with family and spend thousands of pounds. You know, one or two trips every year. But when you talk to the same person about Hajj, Allahu Akbar, he says, oh, I didn't have time, I didn't have the money, mere halaat theek nahi hai, I haven't got the means. You seem to be driving a flash car, you've lived in a nice house, you've got everything else. Oh, I've got a business to run. What happens to the business when you go on holiday? What happens to the business when you have to go to Pakistan? What happens to the business if somebody passes away and you get on the next flight? Well, that's life, I have to stop it. Well, in exactly the same way, when the creator of the heavens and the earth says that it is farz upon you to perform Hajj, and I, the provider, the Razik, I have given you the means to perform Hajj. I've given you the financial means. I've given you the physical means. You're not disabled. I've given you a physical body that's fit and healthy. How dare you ignore my command and you carry on with your life? So if Hajj is farz upon you, don't let the shaitan deceive you. Make a firm intention today, sat there, that inshallah, by the blessings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know, as soon as I get the opportunity, this pandemic is over, Hajj is open for the normal person, inshallah, no matter what else I do, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to book my Hajj, go do my farz Hajj, and be free from this obligation and this farz of deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Make that intention today. You know, the beauty of making that intention today is, you'll start to be rewarded for that. If you die, say, before Hajj is opened for the normal person, you pass away, you've made that intention. And maybe the creator of the heavens and the earth will say, yes, he was a sinner. Yes, he could have gone earlier. But he did make a firm intention in his heart. That, Ya Allah, please forgive me. I should have gone. I've made a mistake. Now, as soon as I get the opportunity, inshallah, I will be on that plane, I will be wearing the white clothes, and I will be with the hajis saying, Labbaik Allahumma Labbaik, Ya Allah, give me the chance. Pray for that, ask for that, and after every salah, pray in the court of Allah. Malik, you call all these people, Malik, mujhe bhi bula le. Call me as well. Let me see that amazing sight, and what can I tell you? You know, when you see the glorious, amazing Kaaba, Allahu Akbar. You know, you think, how huge is it? And you see the gold writing, and you see the black ghilaf, and you see the people, doing tawaf around it. Honestly, you cannot explain that scene. I don't have the words to describe that. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, by the blessings of the Nalani Park and Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I've had that opportunity many times. And even seeing it many times, every time you see it, your jaw drops, you just think, oh yeah, Malik, I don't deserve to be in this haram, never mind anything else. Tera karam hai. Ask for that karam. May Allah give us all the opportunity to go to Hajj again and again. And remember, the scholars write, Mufti Sahib writes as well, that when you're on Hajj, and you're in Makkatul Mukarramah, remember that every good deed you do is worth 100,000 good deeds. If you keep one fast, it's worth 100,000 fasts. If you read 2 rakat nafil, that doubles to 200,000. Every good deed you do is multiplied by 100,000. But he also writes to be very careful. Because where the good deeds are multiplied by 100,000, at the same time, every sin that we do is multiplied by 100,000. And so the scholars write that when you're in Makkatul Mukarrama, be very, very careful. Some people, they are that careful, they don't even breathe loudly because they don't want to gain 100,000 sins. Yet, unfortunately, what the scholars write is these days, you see gupshup and people chatting, and still in Makkatul Mukarrama, the best place, you've got people who are backbiting, who are tale-telling, who are having a laugh and a joke and mickey-taking and all of this on the blessed land of the house of Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is why Muhtisab says that when you have the opportunity, make the intention. Okay, I'm going to zip it. I'm going to keep my tongue moist in the zikr of Allah Azza wa Jal. I'm going to try and spend in the way of Allah Azza wa Jal, because every penny I spend is worth 100,000. Every pound I spend is worth 100,000. That, you know, when you do a Hajj, if you really want that essence of it, if you really want the barakat, the blessings, the nur, the light, the guidance, the enlightenment, the spirituality of it, then do it with the love of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in your heart. Every step of the way, just think, my Habib may have stood here. My Habib may have passed here. My Habib did this like this. My Habib was here. And every step of the way, this is how my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught me to do tawaf. This is how Aqa Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may have touched the glorious Kaaba Sharif. This is how my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may have walked this way to the Masjid Sharif through Haram. This is where my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam may have looked. You know, this is the fragrance of my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the air. Make that on your journey of Hajj. You know, when you're going through everything, when you're in Mina, when you're in Arafat, when you're in Muzdalifah, when you're going back to the Kaaba for Tawaf Ziyarat, all the way through, just, you're doing the actions, but your mind and your heart is attached to the beloved Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the scholars write, then you will see the nur come to your heart. You will see the light of guidance and the enlightenment and the true spirituality of Hajj. And then at that high pinnacle, you think, when you think it can't get any better, then it does. Because then you are blessed with the amazing opportunity to go to a city where the angels of Allah Azza wa Jal only get an opportunity to come once in a lifetime. You have the amazing opportunity to visit a place the dust of which is better than anything else in the universe. You get the opportunity to visit a place where mangte tajdar karte hain. You know, Allah Hazrat says that these are the streets where the kings of the world are like beggars lining the streets. This is the place where the highest rank walis of Allah Azza wa Jal are walking and calling themselves worse than the Sage Medina, the dogs of the streets of this beautiful place. That city, that place is the city of the blessed and beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When it comes to places on the earth, my dear Islamic brothers, it doesn't get better than the city. In the entire universe, there is nowhere better. You know, when I was talking about the virtues of Makkah, you, for every good deed you do, you get 100,000 good deeds in Makkah. Every good deed you do in Madinatul Munawwara, you get 50,000 good deeds. Now you might think, well, in Makkah Park you get 100,000, in Madinatul Munawwara you only get 50,000. But the scholars write something very beautiful here. Say, look at the mercy and the rahmat of lil alameen. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mercy to the world. In Makkatul Mukarrama, if you do one good deed, you get 100,000 good deeds. But if you do one sin, make one mistake, it's 100,000 sins. In the city of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you do one good deed, you get 50,000 good deeds. But if you make a mistake, and we're full of mistakes, and the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knows that. He knows the Ummati very well. He loves the Ummati so much. And Allah Azza wa Jal loves His Habib so much that He said, in Makkah al-Mukarramah, you make a mistake, I'm going to put 100,000 bad deeds. But you make a mistake in the city of my beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I won't write 50,000, I'll only write one. Look at the rahmat, the mercy of the beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then, you know, some they were saying that, you know, Makkah al-Mukarramah has a great status and a greater status than Madinah al-Munawwarah. And you know, the devotees of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Ashikani Rasul, what they said is, look, if you stand back and look at it all, there are both amazing places. And Makkah al-Mukarramah has a magnificent status. And Madinah al-Munawwarah has an unbelievable status. Why? Because whilst the beloved Habib was in Makkah, Makkah was magnificent. Now that the beloved Habib is in Madinah al-Munawwarah, Madinah al-Munawwarah is magnificent. And they are both dear to our hearts because of the nisbat of the blessed Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this is why we say that when an ashik, when a devotee visits Madinah al-Munawwarah, it is the pinnacle of his existence. He is visiting the holy site of the best of creation. He is going to visit his love of his life, you know, his master. And Allah Azza wa Jal created him, put him on this earth, gave him everything. And he worships the Creator and prostrates to Allah Azza wa Jal. But his iman is not complete until he loves the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than everything else in this world. More than his parents, more than his children, more than his wealth, more than his bank balance, everything else. So you make the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam everything. You make Madinah al-Munawwarah everything. And then you prostrate in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. And then you reach the amazing heights. Even the dust of this blessed city is shifa. Allahu Akbar. You know, people when they get to Madinah al-Munawwarah, Allah Hazrat had done one Hajj. And he goes to the city of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's where the scholars say that he was so overwhelmed by being in that blessed place. But he had a desire in his heart which was very special. So he writes a kalam. And the desire in his heart was that he'd been blessed with the vision of the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dreams many times. But he wanted to see Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam awake. But it was a tall order. And he's asking for this, he's praying for this, he's reading through the park, he's crying in the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he's asking Allah Azza wa Jal to bless him, and it's not happening. And he writes that beautiful kalam, Vussu'e lala zahar phirte hain, tere din ae bahar phirte hain, us gali ka gada hum main jisme, mangte tajdar phirte hain, I am a beggar in that street, where even the kings are coming to beg as well. And then he goes through the different couplets, and eventually he lowers himself so much that he says, you want to see the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whilst in the state of wakeness? You're not worthy of that. You're not good enough for that. How dare you? You're nothing. And when he humbles himself to that level, just guess what happened? Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed this Ashik Sadiq, this true devotee, with seeing the best of creation in the wakeful state. And many have seen that. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And this is our Imam, our Pir Murshid, our Ala Hazrat, who not only saw Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his dreams many times, but had the honor and the privilege of seeing Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the wakeful state. So as Hajjis, when you've cleansed yourself and got rid of your sins and asked for forgiveness and been to the plains of Arafat and been through the night of Muzdalifah and stoned the Jamarat and done everything and done your tawafs and got out of your ihram and celebrated your Eid and done your Qurbani, then, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, in that pure state and form, you are then presented in the court of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Dar-e Mubarak is such that the one who has that privilege and that honor, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, gets blessed with so much. Okay, whatever you want is given to you. It's the distribution center for the world. قمد خزر الشريف and the dar of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the court of Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the distribution center. Allah Azza wa Jal sends the ni'mats and the blessings to his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the distributor of all the ni'mats and blessings. And just imagine, if you sat wherever you are, everything that the world gets is by the blessings of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So if you're at that Dar-e Mubarak, you sat in front of the Jalia Mubarak, you sat in the shade of the Gumbad Sharif, you sat under the umbrellas on the inside of the Masjid Nabawi Sharif, and you're looking at them, beholding the amazing green and golden Jalia, the grills, and then you're making a dua in the court of Allah Azza wa Jal. Allahu Akbar. Life cannot get any better than that. We pray that Allah Azza wa Jal gives us all the opportunity to bask in this amazing light and this amazing nur that you get there. And it's a privilege. It's a privilege. And especially for those who are longing for it. You know, mera gham bhi to dekho, ke pada hoon dur to hai. Look at the grief in my heart, that I am far from Madinatul Munawwara. And with that grief, you know, it increases your love of Madinatul Munawwara and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in that beautiful love, you know, life will blossom. Your problems will disappear. Because the essence of our existence is, and the heart and soul of our existence is our beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The closer you come to Allah Azza wa Jalla and his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the closer you come to the reason for your existence in this world. And when you see that beautiful Gumbad Sharif, Allahu Akbar, what can I say? One, when you first see it, it is such an amazing sight. Such a magnificent sight. And you know what the pinnacle of that visit is? Allahu Akbar. A few years ago, a Buzurg from Bolton, they were on Hajj, and they went to Madinatul Munawwara. And they were speaking to people there, and they said, I want to see that place where they had the body when they read the janazah. And for those of you who've had the honor and the privilege of going to Madinatul Munawwara, on the side of the Gumbad next to it, there is an area. And if you walk around that side, there is a door there about midway on that point on the Gumbad side. And there, they bring the body in on one of these carts. And then they put it in there, and then they take it forward for the janazah, and then they take it from there. So this Buzurg, rahmatullahi alayhi, he went there from our Ghusya Masjid in Bolton. So he went there, and he said to him, I want to see that place. And this is the day he gets there. So he gets there, he goes to the place, they show him everything, and usually they don't let you in, but his kismet, they let him in. He had a look around, and he said, and then they said, right, so they take the body from here, they take it that route, and they take it to Baki Sharif, up that ramp. And so he walked all that route, he walked up to the ramp, and he looked in, and he said, right, that's Baki Sharif, so that's where they bury. And they said, yeah, they bury on that far side. That night, he went back to his hotel, and he passed away. And the next morning, his janazah was read there, and he was taken on that exact same route, and went and buried in Baki Sharif. How amazing is that? Now, is that not a dream that every Muslim should have? Because for the rest of the days of this earth, and it could be hundreds and thousands of years, you are going to rest in the shade of the beautiful Gumbad Sharif. And you're going to see the amazing scenes of Madinatul Munawwara. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in many hadith mubarakah, have said that die in this beautiful city of mine. Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, given glad tidings to the one who dies in Madinatul Munawwara, and Akka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's intercession as well. All we can do is hope and dream for that. So today, I want you to change something. You know, like we have this desire in our heart that I want to visit this place. I met Switzerland, giants. I want to go to Switzerland. I want to go to America. I want to do this. I want to do this. I want to go to this place. Get rid of all of those. Just have one desire in here. I want to go on Hajj, and I want to go to Medina. That's it. Or koi khwahish nahi hai. That is the only one, and I make the intention that the first opportunity I get, inshallah, I will present myself at the feet of my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. May Allah azza wa jal give us all the opportunity to go on Hajj time and time again. May Allah azza wa jal give us all the opportunity to perform Hajj with the utmost respect, sincerity and humbleness. And may Allah azza wa jal give us all the opportunity to present our salams directly, stood in front of those beautiful golden jaliyah, with our head lowered, our eyes lowered, our heart humbled, and say, As-salatu as-salamu alayki ya Rasulallah, As-salatu as-salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah. And the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, blesses us. And all of our problems in this world disappear by the blessings of the beloved Habib. Our grave is enlightened, and on the day of resurrection, like I started with, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam intercedes for us, then we are truly successful. Ameen. Bijahin Nabil Ameen. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.